Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today in our studies going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 13, which says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And we've been looking at this idea here of the word of God and what it is that the Apostle Paul has actually been making a reference to. And we looked at, in our last episode, the fact that we do have a completed word of God and why that is so important for us to know. Now, we also see, if we go over here to Romans chapter number 10, as we continue looking at this issue of the word of God and why Paul focuses so much on the idea of it. And in Romans chapter number 10, we see here in verse number 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And we see how Paul, as he's speaking about this here, speaks that of the fact that the word of God is what actually produces faith in the life of an individual. And that's why it is so important to be focusing on the issue of what the word of God actually says, and why it is that Paul holds this assembly in Thessalonica up as an example, because they had this exact same thought pattern related to what is the word of God actually does for an individual. That is, this is what's going to produce faith. This is what the life of the individual really needs to be based on, is what the word of God actually says. And so that's why Paul can hold them up, because they're taking the information that Paul has been communicating to them, the information, since Paul is the representative of God here on the earth, Paul is the one that God is revealing all of the information for this dispensation to, and he's recording that information for us. They're accepting all the things that Paul is writing as the word of God, which is what any believer really needs to be truly having that understanding, because it's Paul that's going to actually give us everything that we need to know. We see how God changes the thought pattern of how he's dealing with man based on the rejection of man of God's program. We saw how, when you look at, you know, God had been dealing with the nation of Israel through the prophets. The nation rejected the prophets. God the Son came down here on planet Earth, offered the kingdom to the nation. The nation rejects that. God deals with them. The Spirit, you know, makes another offer of the kingdom unto the nation of Israel. The nation rejects that third offer of the kingdom, leaving the issue that there would be no hope for mankind without God demonstrating grace towards man, giving another offer of salvation, but having to do it through a completely different manner of things, rather than it being through all the things of the earthly program. We see how God is going to deal with the Apostle Paul and be doing things related to the heavenly program, the heavenly hope, giving another offer of these things. And that's, if we go over to Acts chapter number 9, we're going to see the beginning of God dealing with the Apostle Paul and how there's a reason behind all of these things. And here in Acts chapter number 9, we're going to start here at verse number 1. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." We see as Paul, at the time known as Saul, is following what he thinks is the right thing. He sees all of these individuals who had been ministering the things of Israel's program, looks at them as being, you know, blasphemers, as rejecting what's supposed to be going on. He's going about trying to put a stop to these things, and it only stops when the Lord Jesus Christ appears to him in heaven's glory. And that's a completely different way than what we see, you know, when you look at, you know, how the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Peter or appeared to the other apostles, how he appeared to them physically here on the earth, and the only appearance of him in heaven's glory speaking to man is the appearance to the Apostle Paul, giving him the salvation that's being recorded here in this passage. And we see how there's a purpose behind this salvation is being given here. If we skip down here to verse number 12 in the same chapter, and it says, "And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man," Ananias is speaking of Saul of Tarsus, "how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And so we see how there's a purpose behind the calling of Saul of Tarsus and how he's going to be, as it says, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He's going to be giving the message that God wants man to have today, and it's all going to come through what the Apostle Paul is actually going to do in his ministry. And you see how Paul can define what's going on with him and how he's given this information. If we go over to Galatians chapter number 1, and here in Galatians chapter number 1, we're going to see a verse that, you know, unfortunately so many people reject what is actually said here by the Apostle Paul. But we're going to read verses 11 and 12 of Galatians chapter number 1. It says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what you see individuals really try to do is they look at the ministry of the Apostle Paul. They try to say that what he's doing lines up exactly with what Peter, James, John, and the other apostles were actually doing, and that he's really just an extension of their ministry. And the Apostle Paul is very clear in his epistles that this is not the case. And this passage that we just read is saying that the gospel which is preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel message that's given to the Apostle Paul, the message that he identifies three different times in his epistles and calls it my gospel, that information, he didn't receive that from any man. He wasn't taught it from any man. This was not part of the information that he received when he was a Pharisee learning the things of the law. He received this information directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's a different gospel message. You see how in Acts 9 he's preaching the fact that he's the Christ. He's preaching that same message that you could say that he had received it of a man, or he had been taught it by a man, because this was the message that the apostles had been declaring. The gospel message that Paul's making a reference to here in Galatians chapter 1 verse 11 is the gospel message that was given specifically to the Apostle Paul, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And how someone puts their belief in that and that alone, which means they're trusting the message that has been given to the Apostle Paul that they're hearing, then they're going to receive the salvation that God's word actually promises. This is why you can see how Paul's describing these things. We looked at last time how Paul identifies the fact that he was to fulfill or complete the word of God, because that's the responsibility that he had. We see how Paul describes himself, if we go over to Romans chapter number 11, to see what Paul's going to say about the position that he has in the body of Christ here. And in Romans chapter number 11, we're going to read starting at verse number 11, which says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And Paul is declaring the fact that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. That's completely different from the apostles that were given to positions related to the nation of Israel, whose goal for themselves and what that reward that they're going to receive is that they're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel when the kingdom is established here on the earth. That's the promise that's been made to them. We see that Paul is never given that promise. You see how Paul mentions over and over again the fact of a heavenly hope, a heavenly promise, words that are waiting for us in heaven. All of these things that as you read from starting in the book of Romans and ending with the book of Philemon, you see how all of these things that he's making a reference to related to the promises given to the body of Christ, it's unique. You can't find them anywhere else in Scripture. And that's why it has to be seen that this is the Word of God. Some individuals completely reject the fact that what Paul wrote was the Word of God, because they understand that there is a difference. They understand the uniqueness of what's being said, and how Paul can define that uniqueness when, for example, let's go to Galatians chapter number 2 to see how the members of the nation of Israel could also see that there was a difference between what they were doing, what Paul was doing, how both of them were completely functioning according to what the Word of God actually said to them. And here in Galatians chapter number 2, we're going to start here at verse number 1. It says, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, but and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." So we see how we're going to continue on here in this passage in a moment, but you see how the focus of what their discussion is revolves around what the Word of God actually says. So you see how Paul goes up with Barnabas and Titus. They have a discussion about the information that's been given to Paul that he's been preaching. And they're contrasting it with everything else that has already been in place. The information that God had been, you know, using to deal with the nation of Israel, that's the information that's, you know, as that program is starting to fade away, as the ministry that Paul has is starting to increase. And these individuals are struggling with the fact of, you know, is what Paul's doing really the Word of God? So they have this discussion and they're seeing that this is really the Word of God that has been communicated to the Apostle Paul, that he's going out preaching unto these individuals. And so we're going to see what the conclusion is that they come to here, starting in verse number 7. It says, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." So we see how the conclusion that they come to is the fact that there's a gospel of the uncircumcision. This information has been given to the Apostle Paul. And there's the gospel of the circumcision, the information that's related to Israel's program. And the conclusion that they come to is that these are two completely different things, but they're both the Word of God, and they both are supposed to be going out at this time, and that here's what's going to happen. We who have the gospel of the circumcision, this information is given to the nation of Israel, we're going to restrict our ministry to these individuals, and Paul's going to go out and take the information that's committed unto him, and he's going to go out and teach those who are the uncircumcision. And how this is a complete understanding of that this is the Word of God, and this is how it's supposed to actually work out in order for salvation to actually be happening for the individuals that are hearing these gospel messages. Now, this could never be said today because there is no gospel of the circumcision that can actually save someone at this time, because the only gospel that can actually provide salvation is the information that's been given to the Apostle Paul. That's why Paul can describe the responsibility he has. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And this is the word, actually, as Paul's describing it, the word starting to work an individual here, because it's actually going to be, you know, be going out preaching as, you know, these members of the Thessalonica church were understanding that they were supposed to be doing. Paul's saying that this is the responsibility that we have. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, let's start verse number 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you see how Paul, as he describes this responsibility, you see how he calls it an ambassadorship. That we're, you know, we are the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ here on planet Earth. And if we're functioning in that role of being an ambassador and communicating what the God would want us to be communicating at this time, that information is good. What you see how Paul, this, you know, the previous verse, committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So there's a message of reconciliation that's been given to us. That's part of this ministry of reconciliation that Paul describes in the verse previous to that. And how that ministry all ties in with the information that's been given to the Apostle Paul, that these saints in Thessalonica could hold up and say, yes, this is the word of God that we need to be going out communicating to individuals. This is the word of God that we need to be applying to our lives, so that way we can understand exactly what it is that God would have us to do. This is the responsibility that every member of the body of Christ has, is to take this word of God and be accepting it as, this is the information that I need. And it's not only the information that I need, it's the information that the rest of this world needs to hear. That's why when Paul describes the responsibility that he has in Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 8 and 9 here, which says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And this responsibility that Paul has, that he says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Our responsibility is for this entire lost world to be hearing the message of the dispensation of the grace of God. The message that was given uniquely to the Apostle Paul that should be going out. The gospel message that's for today. This needs to be continued to be proclaimed. It needs to be stood for. It needs to make sure it is being preached to individuals, so that way not only can all men be saved, but they can also come unto the knowledge of the truth. Because God wants individuals to grow in the knowledge of his word, to understand exactly what it is that we are supposed to be doing today. And these saints in Thessalonica, this is exactly what they were doing. And as they were doing it, the word was working in them. And that's in our next episode. We're going to start looking at the fact of how it is that the word of God actually works in the individuals that have put their trust in the gospel message. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live on Facebook as they occur. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. So, you know, you always have those opportunities to study directly with us as we are studying as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything on our website, anything on these broadcasts, anything that you hear in any of our messages, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.